Good evening. Great to be back with you this evening. Appreciate your presence here so that we can worship God together. This morning we set out looking at the topic of how to study the Bible. And in particular this morning we noticed six different attitudes, if you will, that need to be present as we come to the Bible. We began this morning by looking at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, where Paul writes to Timothy and says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth." And as we looked at that passage, we noticed what it said, but also the opposite of what it said. That if we do not handle God's word rightly, then the implication from the verse is that we should be ashamed and that we are not approved of God. And of course, the only way to handle God's word rightly is to spend time in it. It's like anything that we would do. In order to become good at it, time has to be devoted to that. And this morning we talked about the importance of studying the Bible and studying it regularly. And tonight, I want us to look at some very practical suggestions. Ways that if we're seeking to read through the Bible in a year, which I know is probably when it comes to New Year's resolutions that Christians make, it is probably the most popular of all of them, to read through the Bible in a year. And so I want to give us some do's and some don'ts. Five do's, three don'ts that I think will help us in accomplishing that task. Number one, let's begin by noticing some do's. Number one, do pray about it. You know, this is one of those ones where you say it should go without saying, but it still needs to be said. If we're seeking to read through God's Word, and anytime we sit down to read God's Word, to study God's Word, y'all, that should begin with prayer. Now, pray to God for help to be dedicated to studying His Word. Pray for wisdom as you read. You know, in James chapter 1 and verse 5, James writes, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him." James flat out tells us if we need wisdom, and of course, in the context here, this would be godly wisdom, then we ask God for that. And James says that God will give us that. And so pray for wisdom as you read. Pray for understanding. Pray for the courage to apply what you learn. As we said this morning, that's one of the important parts. Anytime we read and study our Bible, when we read something and we say, "Hey, God's Word says this, but I'm doing this, and those two things don't line up," then we need to have the courage to make the change. You see, the Bible doesn't bend to our will. Our will should bend to His. And so the first thing that we need to do, so very important, anytime we're going to sit down to read, to study God's Word, let it start with prayer. And I think it'll make it a big difference in how we approach the rest of that time in reading God's Word. So number one, do pray about it. Number two, do set a time and a place to read. Do set a time and a place to read. If you're like me, if I just say, "Well, I'm going to do this, whatever this may be, fill in the blank," but I don't set a firm, "This is when I'm going to do it," odds are A, B, C, D, E, F, and G are going to get in the way, and I'm never going to get to what I intended to do. And so it's important that we set a time and a place when we're going to read the Bible. You know, in Daniel chapter 6, and of course Daniel chapter 6, the famous chapter in the book of Daniel, where Daniel faces the lion's den for praying to God when the decree had been signed that no one should pray to anyone except for Darius. But you know, in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10, and I realize in this context it's talking about prayer, but the principle is important. It said, "When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house, where he had his windows in the upper chamber open towards Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God," watch this now, "as he had done previously." Daniel had a practice, didn't he? Three times a day, there were certain times when he made a purpose to pray. And the same is true when we talk about reading God's Word. We need to set a time and a place. This is when I'm going to do my Bible reading. Are there occasions where that time might get shifted because of things going on that are beyond our control? Of course. But you're going to be far more likely to stick to a schedule of reading your Bible if you set a specific time and place that is going to be done. And once again, for me, it's like working out. If I'm going to work out, I have to set, this is when it's going to get done. And it has to be done in the morning. If I don't work out in the morning, that's it. It's not going to happen the rest of the day. I'm not going to do it when I get home in the afternoon. It's just not going to take place. And so find the time that works best for you. If you're like me and you're a morning person, maybe that's the best time. And when you're waking up, you're drinking your morning cup of coffee, maybe that's the time to sit down and spend some time in God's Word. If you're like my wife and you're a night owl, maybe that's the time. Maybe late in the day when I'm in the bed, I'm not bothering her, and the kids are in the bed and they're not bothering her. Maybe that's the time. Find what works for you. Maybe your time's in the middle of the day. Maybe on lunch break, that's the best time for you to sit down and spend some time in God's Word. Maybe that breaks up the day perfectly. If you're at work and you've got coworkers that drive you crazy, maybe that works to calm you down and put you in the right headspace for the rest of the day. Whatever it is, whenever it is, have that place. Have that time. Set it aside to spend time in God's Word. If you read most studies, to read through the Bible in a year, you need about 15 or 20 minutes a day. That's how much time you need to set aside. Now, I don't know about you. I could record one of my favorite shows and skip through the commercials, and there's your 15 minutes right there. And so the time is there. We just need to set it aside and spend time in God's Word. Number three, do find someone to hold you accountable. Do find someone to hold you accountable. Ask a spouse, a sibling, or a close friend to help you stay on track. Have them check in with you once a week. Ask you or you report to them where you're at, what you've done. Studies have shown that if we have someone that we're accountable to for something, we're far more likely to do that. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 12, Solomon, the wisest man to ever live, said, "And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken." Solomon tells us when you got people coming together, they're stronger. And the same is true when it comes to reading our Bible. If we've got someone helping to hold us accountable, that way it's just not us, then we're far more likely to stay on track and to read through the Bible like we want to. Number four, do keep a pen and a pad, piece of paper, something handy. Here's why: as you read, especially if you've never read through the entire Bible before, you know what you're going to have? You're going to have questions. You're going to come across passages where you're like, I want to look at that more closely. I wanted to dig into that a little bit deeper to see what's being said, what's going on there. Maybe I need some historical background. I'm going to do some research to get a better understanding of what's taking place. As you read, you're going to have those questions. You're going to have those things that you want to study more thoroughly. But if you stop every time to investigate those things, then you're never going to accomplish the goal of reading through the Bible. And so it's important that you write those things down. And then that way, at a separate time, you can sit down and study those things more fully. And here's why you write them down. You'll see it, you'll be like, man, that's something I really want to think about, look at. And you go to sleep, and you wake up the next day, and guess what? You have completely forgot about it, all right? And so write those things down so that you can go back and look at them later and research it at a different time. Fifth and final do, number five, do designate a catch-up day. Do designate a catch-up day. You will more than likely get behind, especially if this is your first time trying to do this, because life happens. Designate a couple of days a month or a day once a week to be a time when you can catch up. You know your schedule. Maybe it's a Sunday afternoon. Maybe Sundays are a chiller day for you because you don't have to work. You got Bible study and worship in the morning, worship beginning in the evening. But maybe the afternoon is a little bit more chill. It's a great time to designate as a catch-up day. Maybe for you and your schedule, that's a weekday night. Maybe that's some other, maybe it's a Saturday. Whatever it is, pick you a couple of times a month at least. Designate those times as catch-up days. And instead of that 15 minutes, maybe you spend 30 minutes. Maybe you spend an hour. And anywhere where you've gotten behind, you use that time to try to catch back up to where you need to be. Just use those days to try to stay on track. Because as I said, you're going to get behind. That's just that's the way life works. And so find that those days where you can designate them as catch-up days to get back on track. Now that brings us to some don'ts. Three things that we do not want to do. Number one, don't miss 2 days in a row. Don't miss 2 days in a row. Is it going to happen that you maybe miss a day? Yes. If you miss a day, do everything in your power to read the next day. You don't necessarily have to use that next day to catch up. You can if you want to, but just make sure you read the next day. Because here's what happens. If you begin to miss several days in a row, guess what? You get completely off. Once again, I'm going back to working out because that's something I've been trying to do for the past couple of months. This is one of my workout statements. Don't miss 2 days in a row. Because if I miss 2 days in a row, there's some mornings I wake up and I'm like, it's not that day. It's not going to happen. But I also remind myself tomorrow has to be that day. Because if I miss 2 days in a row, guess what starts to happen? I miss a third day and a fourth day, and things begin to go downhill. And so do your best as you're reading through your Bible, do your best to not miss 2 days in a row. Number two, don't get discouraged if you do. Friend, even if you get behind a week, a month, don't give up. When we get behind like this, Satan does a really good job of beginning to whisper, you're so far behind, you'll never catch up. Tell Satan to shut his mouth. Okay? Don't give up. Let's say you do get a month behind. Could you catch up? Yeah. Would it take some serious time and effort? Yes. But you know, there's another option. Just pick up wherever you left off and read through the first month of the following year. Did you read through the Bible in a year? No. But a year and 1 month is better than not at all, is it not? Y'all, life is going to happen. I set out beginning this month, I was going to read through the entire New Testament in a month. And you can do that by reading about 9 chapters a day. And then I got this, whatever this was that I've had for a week. And sitting down and trying to read, y'all, the words began moving on the page. So what happened? Got behind? Reading, when you're behind several days with 9 chapters a day, that's really hard to catch up on. So what am I going to do? I'm just going to push it into first week of the next month. Did I read it through in a month? No, but I read it through in a month and a week. And that's better than not at all, is it not? And so if you do get behind, don't give up. Don't get discouraged. Just pick up where you left off and continue to move forward. Third and finally, and probably the biggest don't of all the don'ts, don't have a smartphone nearby. Put the phone in another room. Put the phone under a pillow. Put the phone in a lockbox. Put it somewhere other than beside you. Because you know as well as I do, what's that phone going to do once I start reading? And what am I going to do? I'm going to pick it up and I want to see what the notification is, right? And then I'm getting distracted from what I need to be doing. And not just smartphones. Really, remove any distractions. Let your family know, hey, these next 15 or 20 minutes, I'm reading my Bible. Leave me be. If you want something, go ask your mother. If you want something, go ask your father. Give me these 15 or 20 minutes to spend reading God's Word. Remove any distractions that you can so that you can focus on the task at hand. 8 things, 5 do's, 3 don'ts, that I think that if we will use them, will help us to be able to accomplish the task of reading through God's Word. You know, as we said this morning, the important thing about God's Word is it tells us how to live. It gives us everything that we need to know to go from here to heaven. But it only does that if we apply it. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, will you apply God's Word? Believing in Jesus, turning from sin, putting Christ on in baptism. Or if you are a Christian and this evening you realize, you know what, I haven't been living like I should. I haven't been dedicated like I should. Come back to a God who loves you, a Savior that died for you. They stand ready to receive you home. If you need to respond to heaven's invitation, we'd ask you to come right now as we stand and sing.